it's about clearing the blocks that are first procrastination is something that's for her. Lack of focus can be one. As I said, the self-care, the people get into bad health because of bad systems in their business. For example, they're literally trying to do everything themselves. They're so overwhelmed. They're so stressed out that they come and see me because they can't do it anymore. They can't physically do it anymore. Their bodies just won't let them.
Welcome to the Three Steps to Thrive podcast, where each show will show you three simple, practical, and actionable steps to improve your life or your business. Now, here's your host, James Lamb. And guess what? That's me.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are. My name is James from Three Steps to Thrive. And today I'm so excited to have Lisa Pivo from Lisa Healing. Lisa, can you say hello?
Hi, everybody.
Lisa's all the way from South Africa. So now we can actually say this show is world famous, which is amazing because we have, I think, our second or third guest in the Southern Hemisphere. So welcome, Lisa, and our first guest from Africa. So a big welcome to you. Lisa's got a neat story. So Lisa helps women, mothers, and entrepreneurs. They hire her to empower them to create thriving families and businesses because, listen to this, most are time-starved, try to do too much with too little, and put themselves last. And don't we all know about that? If you're a small business owner or you're an entrepreneur, we all know what is going on there. So Lisa really helps them tap into their intuition, and that helps to create healthy families and build profitable businesses. Bottom line, Lisa says that she helps remove limiting beliefs and boost family immune systems using natural healing modalities that basically increase business and family success 10 times. And when I mean family success, I mean being mindful with families, not fertility. So if you, if you don't want 10 kids, you're not going to
have 10. Can do fertility too.
She does fertility as well. So there you go, team. Okay. Look, Lisa, we met at, the first thing, and listeners, I know you can't see this, but one of the things I love about Lisa is that, she is incredibly calming. And what I mean by incredibly calming, if you can't see her, but what I'm sensing is that she is unbelievably just, you talk to her, and this morning I was in a tiz. So those of you who know, I had a boutique marketing agency, and they charged us for Facebook ads that the new ownership taken, but I was kind of like, oh my God, what is going on? And my wife is like, oh my God, how come we're still getting charges for Facebook? And realistically, team, you know how much it was? It was $40. It's $40. It's not a lot of money. But just the simple fact that people are kind of charging you, and you're like, these people should not be charging me. Anyways, and I got to Lisa, and Lisa instantly, she taps into my mood, and she's like, you know, we can do this another day. I'm like, no, we're going to do this. But 10 seconds in, I feel better already. So I want to draw listeners' attention to that line, and I'm going to repeat it again. So entrepreneurs hire her to empower them to create thriving families and businesses because most are time-starved, try to do too much with too little, and put themselves last. Lisa, why do we do this over and over again? Why do we put ourselves last, and we continually do it all the time? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I think most people are focused on their families and others around them to the point where they don't think about themselves. They've got too many things on their plate. They're in that rat wheel and going round and round and round in that circle, and they don't stop enough to say, okay, this is what I need. And we've been taught, even from little kids, that we need to share, we need to give to others, but we also need to give to ourselves. And self-care is like really, really important in terms of health, in terms of everything, in terms of your business life. You've got to take that time out. Some of the best times, like the biggest orders, have come in when I'm playing on the beach or up in a mountain when I'm on a tech holiday, you know, that's when our business just like blossoms. And I don't know if it's been the same for you, James, but it's when I take that time out and I'm more aware of I'm sleeping well, I'm eating well, I'm being healthy, and things just flow when you're in that space. The reasons people don't do it, I think, is one, everybody I know has some sort of like feelings of unworthiness in some way, shape, or form. Or they have a sense of fear underlying that they're not maybe even aware of where it comes from, or they have some belief system that's blocking and stopping them from being who they truly are. And they get into that treadmill mode because of these emotional, mental aspects that are going on underneath. And if they were to clear those things, then they could like be in that abundance mode on the beach in the mountains all the time.
You're almost talking like you're trying to outwork the problem, right? You're trying to outrun the problem. Like the problem's chasing you and it's always there. It's like trying to run fast enough to outrun the sun in many ways, right? That's sort of what you're that's sort of what you're alluding to, and it's always there. So you're saying that sometimes the root cause of a lot of these challenges and a lot of these entrepreneurs' failures and insecurities is going to be kind of the limiting beliefs. Is that correct? And tell me about how it affects people on.
Not just the limiting beliefs, but also the deep emotional issues that they have. Those gremlins. Certainly the mindset is an issue, but the inner workings of our body is all connected. So beliefs is one thing, but emotional stuff is another. And maybe they have old memories that like is linked with that emotional system together with some sort of physical something that happened in the past that needs to be cleared. Yeah,
it's interesting, right? Because I know, you know, there's in business, there's always the logical side, the marketing, the accounting, the cost for acquisition, right? But there's also in many ways a spiritual side. And I think sometimes some of the things that we do, we try to out-logic things, right?
Right.
But it's interesting, right? Because a lot of, you know, I just took a course on NLP, right? And I think it stands for neuro-linguistic programming. But at least you would understand this better than I do. But a lot of them, you know, one of the things you're supposed to do is if you have these things that come up in your mind from when you were a child or whatever, and you keep just not reliving it, but the moment comes back, it's almost like saying your subconscious hasn't quite dealt with it. So you need to take time, almost relive it and deal with it, right? So
actually reliving it is not necessarily... you can actually clear it without reliving it. But yes, I know what you're getting at. You do have to face it and release it.
Tell us why you say you talk with a lot of mothers and entrepreneurs, and by the way, they're not mutually exclusive. We both know that they can be mother entrepreneurs but tell me why. What is the impetus when people see you? So let me try to phrase this question. Do they know something is missing? See, this is one of the challenges of what you do, right? What you do, no one really knows what they are missing, right? If you had crappy marketing, you would go to a marketing person. If you had crappy, if you need a loan, you go to a loan. What is it for you? It's almost like, I know something's not right. And I know I want to be better, but I don't know what that looks like. So tell me a little bit about the inspirations for people seeing you. And what does that look like?
Generally, they want it. They've hit a ceiling and they can't get past it, or they're stuck in some way. They blocked, and whether it be with money or if it's like, for example, I had a woman just the other day who said to me, she's got 6 books in the pipeline, but every time she comes to almost getting it done, something comes along and stops it. And then she does another one and another one and another one. And so she's got all 6 that are almost done, but not quite there yet. And
You're talking she's writing books. Is that right?
She's writing the books, and she's got the illustrations all done. She's doing children's books, but she's got the illustrations almost all done. So the one needs a glossary and the other one needs something else and the tech and the publisher. But it's like each time, and she's literally been writing these books for 20 years and not launched one. Mm-hmm. So it's about clearing the blocks that are first procrastination is something that's for her. Lack of focus can be one. As I said, the self-care, the people get into bad health because of bad systems in their business. For example, they're literally trying to do everything themselves. They're so overwhelmed. They're so stressed out that they come and see me because they can't do it anymore. They can't physically do it anymore. Their bodies just won't let them. And they're starting to get ill as a result. Or they come and see me. Interesting. I get like dichotomy. So people that are just starting out, and then the people that are like really good and everything's doing well, but they don't know what's next. And they feel like they're stuck in, like they've got abundance and they don't know where to from here, you know, kind of thing.
Let's talk about, I'm curious about this person that has six books that are just about written. They have illustration and picture this team. It's like they are there and there's not one of them. There's not two of them. There's six of them that are ready to go, just about ready to go. And they just need maybe, you know, let's put it in terms of work. And I don't know what that is, but let's say it's 2 or 3 hours. Just assuming, right?
Probably.
So is there, you know, is part, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want you to tell me who this person is, but tell me a little bit, is it fear? Is it kind of fear of greatness or fear of failure that is stopping them from doing this last step?
There's definitely a fear of success. And interesting, I gathered from her, there's a fear of having money as a result of a hobby. Which was very interesting that I found, because for her this was just like a sideline. It was a hobby. It wasn't really, she doesn't have to work. She got a lot of money from inheritance, so she doesn't actually have to work, and this is for her just a hobby, something to do to keep her busy. And and she's kind of in a space where she's just been tinkering away at them.
Let me ask you this question, because I'm sure if she feels that way, a lot of people have this quote unquote illogical fear, right? Because realistically, it is illogical, right? Yet it's so strong. Why are we scared of this? Is it challenging our value system? Like what is going on subconsciously, or what is going on with our beliefs? Do you think that is causing that to happen?
She has a belief that she has, it has to be perfect. So she procrastinates. And it's almost like we have cycles. We have like layers, like an onion, where we have the fear, we have the belief, we have another fear or another emotion. And in her case, the base emotion was an egoic one, which is like, it's not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm unworthy. Of money, of success, of all this. And I've got so much already, therefore, you know, and not everybody has those. Other people have different ones, but it's very, very similar for each person in terms of the layers that we go through. And we find a memory normally, we find emotions, and we find the beliefs that come along with that. Once that's cleared, people get going really, really quickly with the work. And I mean, she phoned me yesterday. She's done only one session, but she phoned me yesterday and she said she's found the perfect person to do the illustrations that haven't been done, to fix the ones that she doesn't like, and they're willing to work online, and she's looking into a new publisher today, which is like huge because it's taken her 20 years to find one publisher that didn't work and now to find one that actually is going to work for her. Yeah.
These are big action steps that she's taking to make it work.
Huge.
Right? Which is amazing. Especially if you take picture this team, she's probably been stuck on these six books for years and years and years. So these simple steps that actually lead to action and lead to getting things done, this is a massive step, not in terms of getting it done, but just in terms of psyche as well. Right.
Right. Right.
Let me ask you this.
And the question. The session that I do with her will eventually, I'll do another session with her next week. And then I'll hold her accountable for the things, the action steps that she said she would get done. So the momentum gets there and they start implementing small steps and small things. And I put systems into place and stop procrastination, stop any of the emotions that come up when they come up. And if I haven't done the work, I find out why, I clear that. If it's another layer of that onion, it gets cleared. And then we move forward till they've got everything done that they want to get done. Yeah,
that's a good way to put it, right?
Right.
There's a lot of stuff that you said there, and I just want to dig into one more thing that I think you're alluding to, but I don't know. So let me ask you this question, and let me see if I can phrase this in what's going on in my mind. So you're talking about this publisher who has six books that hasn't been gone through because she's worried about it being perfect, which kind of is a reflection of her in many ways. It's sort of what you're talking about, right? Do you think that's the reason why people aren't genuine? Let me finish the thought. So you have people who read all these books, and you have people who quote other people, and people who try to live the same value system as other people, even though they don't. Is it because they're worried they're not perfect in many ways? Is it because they're worried that who they are is not great enough? And so they almost become this other person. So I'll give you another example. And then I know those of you who have been listening to this podcast for a while will realize this, but you know, we talk, I don't know how we get into this. Maybe it's a hang up of mine, but we talk about toxic male masculinity. And we talk about the fact that, you know, a lot of the gurus in this space, they talk really fast and they use a lot of hand gestures and they kind of talk down to you. Almost like if I talk down to you, I don't have to answer any questions because I'm going to be confident enough where you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm just going to answer, you know, you can't say, I don't know. Do you think a lot of this stems from that, from needing the feeling of needing to be perfect?
It can stem from that, but not only that. A lot of creatives have the need for drama and that stems from a different thing. So that comes from feelings of being unloved or alone in the world. And that's different to feelings of needing to be perfect and the unworthiness of needing to be perfect is very different from the unworthiness of needing to be loved or respected. And then there's also the procrastinators. They are genuinely oblivious. They're like so unself-aware that they're not even aware of what stuff they have. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they don't know, and they've shoved it all underneath the carpet, and they're standing on top of the carpet, which is like a mountain underneath them, and thinking no one can see it. But we all have the ability to pick up what's going on every single level. And then there's the kind of person that has the ability to just to lead, the charismatic person that but they are afraid of fear. And so they're so afraid of fear that they will like try to outrun the fear by doing more and more magnanimous stuff. Mm-hmm. And yes, sometimes it's brilliant stuff, but they're not happy within themselves. Mm-hmm. And until they can handle that fear, they're not going to be happy, even if they're like Robin Williams.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's
interesting because we both thought of the same person at the same time, which is...
Wow. I heard you. Sorry.
I don't know if you... No, it's all, let me ask you this question. Could I know you're robust, but let me, could I, I'm curious. Do you see people? How well do you read people?
I'm an intuitive healer. So I pick up what's going on inside somebody else's body. And sometimes it's literally like you walk into a room and everyone in the room, one person is really, really angry. People know, right? Because they feel it inside their bodies. Even if the person's not facing you, you know that. And I have that ability. When somebody comes in front of me, I have the ability to pick up what's going on inside their bodies. And sometimes if we're talking and relating on a very high level frequency, then I'll just pick up a thought. And I know now enough to know that it's not always my own.
Right. Okay. That's neat.
Because it's the same thought at the same time. And we both kind of thinking it. Yeah.
So tell me about that. And I know we're getting off track, but I love this. I love exploring this topic. Let's say, I walk into a conference and right. for me, sometimes you talk to dozens of people, hundreds of people, depending on the conference. And there's always one or two that you just right off the bat, I dislike. And that dislike is sort of emphasized and reinforced throughout the conference. And my rational mind is trying to justify being like, they didn't mean to be mean. They didn't mean to do this, whatever it was. But if you understand the root cause and you are more of an intuitive, a more of an empath, you can't really hate anybody because there usually is a reason for the way they are. Is that right? Can you comment on that?
That's true. You don't hate people. I don't hate anybody. You understand that some things are not okay and they will never be okay. And the frequency that person is carrying doesn't sync with your frequency at all, which is why you're saying the word hate, but it's not hate as such. It's just a complete incompatibility of your frequencies. Yeah, because one person is like on a completely different frequency. Like for somebody who's a giver and loves to give and is generous, and then let's say they come across somebody who would strip the shirt off somebody's back, you know, mm-hmm. to get money. Yeah. Those two are just completely incompatible. And yeah, you feel it on an energetic level when you go into a conference. Yeah. I don't like normally going to huge groups like that. Just for that reason, I pick up everything if I'm open. Mm-hmm. And if I'm closed, then I'm not not really networking, which is the reason you normally go.
No, that's tough. Yeah. How is this, you know, world of COVID and Zoom affected you? Can you still pick up what people are feeling across thousands of kilometers of ocean?
Yeah. In fact, all the work I do since my daughter was born, which is 4 years ago, I've been doing at a distance. So for me, nothing much has changed other than the fact I've had to homeschool my daughter while working. And I've had enormous influx of new clients and old clients that I haven't seen for a while. And obviously the clients I'm seeing now. It's been interesting because for me it's just another strain of flu, SARS-2, and the frequencies on my device, and so I can send the anti-frequency, which is something that the easiest way to say it is it kills the bacteria, virus, worm, parasite, but it's more. It's much more advanced than that. But yes, it sends anti-frequency. And then you can also like boost the immune system and help support the immunity of people. And I can do a test, an immune test, basically, mm-hmm. to see if somebody is COVID or coronavirus ready. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been doing. I can also see precursor-wise, I can see some people have been doing this. They've been coming on to the device to see precautionary if they've got the virus, to see if they've got it. And I'm doing them once a week, boosting their immune systems once a week, and basically seeing if they've got the virus, because I can see, gauge how, if they've been in contact with somebody, if they've been close to somebody, if they've, just the way it comes back. So if I send the frequencies to your body and it comes back once, it comes back in yellow, twice, it comes back in purple, three or more times, it comes back in red. And I'll only start working on something when it comes back over 100 times. So, but before the 100 times, I can still see what the person's been in contact with. And if they've been in contact with corona, I can see that. And then I can say to them, look, you need to self-isolate, and I'm gonna do you more hectically from now for the next 2 weeks and get this gone. And none of my clients, 60 clients, I think I've had, that have had corona, and I've picked it up before they have had any symptoms, most of them. Only about three, I think, came to me with the symptoms already. And literally none of them have had more than just a little bit of tiredness. One had already had the fever. But yeah, they didn't have, none of them got pneumonia, none of them got the inflammation, none of them got the thrombosis, none of them had the heart attacks, none of them died. So
Which is amazing, right? And that's
that's
exactly right. Tell us a little bit. So, you know, a lot of this is above my head, and this is not from lack of interest, right? It's just I don't understand what you do, and that's okay, right? And a lot of listeners won't understand about frequency or about visions or about colors. You know, tell us, and there's a little bit of faith in putting our business success or putting our mindfulness into you, right? If we decide to work with you, right, there's a little bit of faith that needs to go in there. Tell us in kind of like the simplest terms what you do and how you work with people.
Okay, so when a client are you asking when a client first comes to see me, what they do, the steps they take, or is it more in terms
I suppose of- it's more like a vague question, like before and after. So before someone shows up, what do they look like if you were to paint an avatar? And then afterwards, what is the change? It doesn't matter the mechanism. Tell me the before and after.
Wow. Okay. So generally, there's so many, James. Okay. I'm going to pick. So normally the people that come and see me are, the person that starts is one member of a family. And so it's not often the mother that comes to see me in relation to a family member or a child. And then, basically I'll put them on, the kids on, the parents, the siblings, the nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, until the entire family has been on. I start, they come to me for one thing, but I end up working with them on an ongoing basis, not because of that one thing necessarily, because that thing is cleared, then the next thing comes and the next thing. I work with old stuff, current stuff. If they have falls or accidents, I help them through that. If they have a kid that's in university or in high school and doing tests and exams, I can help them with super learning, the brain, stress release, all of that kind of thing. If the grandkid or the kid is trying to get pregnant, I can help them with that. If they are pregnant, I can help them during the pregnancy because they can't have medicines during pregnancy. And after the pregnancy, healing and for the baby and the mom, and then childhood illnesses and diseases. And I know it sounds like I do everything, but in a way, the way I work is I work on physical stuff, but I work on the emotional, the mental, and the energetic being as well as just the physical. I can't just work on the physical, and I don't just work on the family or the individual. I work on the whole, because we're all connected. None of us is separate. None of us is an individual, really. We're all connected. And if someone in the family is holding the dis-ease of the family, then you have to work with the other members of the family that are this person is holding those things for. Otherwise, that person will never get well. And I find it very interesting. Often it's a second born in a family that will hold all the emotional stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know anyone like that. They hold all the emotional stuff of the family. There's one person that holds all the mental stuff, and they're the ones that think a lot and think it through and overthink mm-hmm. things all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's how I work. And after I've worked with people, they definitely have a sense of peace, of calm. They're able to balance their life and their business. They're able to put things into systems and get things done, take action. They're more able to do the things they want to do. So, for example, if somebody never exercised, never wanted to exercise, but really need to exercise, I might find something that allows them to exercise, but it's not exercise as such. For example, I've had somebody, I've said to them, like, do you love to dance? Because I know they love to dance, right? And then they'll go, yeah. And I was like, okay, well then try this Zumba or try Tai Chi. And for different people, it's different. Even the medicines that I ask them to get, it depends on what their body's asking for. I listen to their bodies, and they're not listening to their bodies. So when I'm telling them what their body wants and what their body needs, then they get the opportunity to listen to their own intuition. So that intuition starts to grow, and they start to listen to their intuition, and then they start following their intuition. And so they start listening to their inner business expert and their health expert within themselves, their own knowing, their own gifts come to the surface and come to the fore. And then they're able to explode in terms of their business and their lives. Yeah.
That's a beautiful way of saying it. And that's the clearest that I've heard someone say it. It's almost like these steps will help, but these steps are coming from you. And you're kind of like this, you're kind of repairing the telephone line, so to speak, right? There's a telephone line between the body and the mind, or there's a telephone line between your intuition and the conscious. And you're kind of basically saying, this is actually what they're saying to you. And you're saying it plain as day. And then when you do that, they start believing in themselves. And it's a really amazing thing. That's really cool. That's amazing to hear. I have so many questions for you, but we're almost out of time. Let me, we're going to get to, and I do want to get to your three steps because it's so important. So I want to get to your three steps in just a second. Okay. But I want to ask you a question first. Mm-hmm. And it's a long-winded question. So just wait for this, but do people have to be ready for this? And I will ask you this question this way. So I have a friend, and I have been struggling with this friend for the past 6 months. I don't know. There's no other way to say it. Okay. I love her dearly. And if you are listening to the show and you know who you are, I do love you dearly, but I'm struggling with her because she's kind of in a dark spot, and she is, I think, confusing productivity with improvement. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I think so.
So super busy. And I kind of trying to throw her and be like, you know, here's a book, or here's a person you should meet, or here's a thought, or here, what about this? Cause I know you're not happy. And she's kind of like, okay, yeah, that's great. I'll get to it when I have time in like 3 months or 2 years or whatever. But this is today, right? You're kind of throwing that time out. Is it because she's not ready? Like, how is there a way to persuade people like that? Because listeners, you know this as well as I do. There's always somebody who is stuck in that rut, who you desperately want to help, but they're almost pushing back so hard you can't do anything about it.
It's the story of you're trying to be the lifesaver and you go out and you swim out over the waves and you get to the person and you're trying to pull them back and you pull them back in front of the waves so that they can go to the beach and then they swim out back out beyond the waves again. And they're going, help, help, help all the time. Yeah. You can help those people with great difficulty if they choose it. So you have to keep putting things in front of them until they choose it. I can work with them anytime. And I pretty soon know whether or not I can help them. Like within one session, I know whether I can help them or not. Because you can deep dive. And if they won't go there, you can't help them. Yeah. And there are very few people that won't go there because the way I work so gently. I like this conversation that we're having. You can have that conversation and they won't even know that I'm working on them because I'm sending frequencies and I'm tweaking things and I'm putting thoughts and I'm dropping things and then I'm bringing up emotions and then I'm letting them go. And then I'm changing subjects so that they don't like focus on it. And then it just goes by itself. And so I have a way of working because I've got like 291 different tools. I don't have to use one tool and then I can switch them up and confuse them and so their mind doesn't get involved or pick up one and then let it go or switch to the physical and then the emotions and the mental stuff just leaves.
Tell me why. Oh, how do I put this? Because, and I think this is sort of, you know, I'm an action-based personality and I know you want to help heal as many people as you can and help them out. What is the one thing you would tell people who are in the same spot as I am and that you have been, I'm sure, and that they are there? So you desperately want to help somebody. And this could be, this doesn't even need to involve Lisa, but it could involve things like marketing or it could involve things like a financial situation they're in or a personal situation. They're kind of every time you see them, they are, for lack of a better term, complaining about the issue and you are putting practical, actionable, and simple steps out there, whatever those things are, or even just thoughts, and they're not taking it. What would you say to as a one thing to, because you are quite intuitive this way.
Right. Okay. So one of the things that you can ask them to do to get them out of that space is to ground themselves. Because if they're stuck in an emotional, mental thought pattern, something you can do, and I know it seems really like woo-woo, but it's actually not. If you take your shoes off and you go and walk in the grass and you lie down and you look at the clouds and you really get present in this moment right now, then that stuff is not here right now. The money problems are not here right now. The marketing problems are not here right now. You're not in front of your computer. You're not doing business. There's no one ill in your family. There's nothing going on except the clouds and the earth. And you're being supported and loved and nurtured by Mother Earth. And you're breathing in the air and you're breathing it out. And if you just get present in that moment and you're picking up the earth's energy and the air's energy, and maybe there's water trickling by and you can listen to birds and see butterflies. That takes them away from their stuff long enough, maybe, for them to choose something else.
It is like, interesting, isn't it? Sorry, go on.
Yeah. Like I often will take people on like relaxation journeys where I'll sort of take them to that kind of place in their minds. And then I'll, as we come back out of the relaxation journey, I might say to them, okay, now the stuff that you put down in that bucket on our way into the journey, do you want to pick it up or do you want to just leave it there? And sometimes that choice is enough to take one step. That's the first step, is a choice. It's always a decision, right? To take action is always first a decision. And they've got to choose to leave that drama and leave the stuff first and then say, okay, what's the next solution? What's the next step? And that's always the first one. Yeah.
That is super, super neat, right? Is that the reason why sometimes our best ideas come to us when we're on a walk or taking a shower?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you're present. You're just in that moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also this flow.
It's like you're creating space, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? For these things to pop in. Okay. Awesome. That was really neat. I had, I learned a lot, and that was super interesting. Now, in this show, listeners, you know, we always provide, we bring on successful and, well, in your case, extremely interesting entrepreneurs and super successful business people. And we always ask them to share their thoughts with you, the listeners. And before they go, we always ask them for three practical, actionable, and simple steps that they can take, that you can take to improve yourself or your business. So Lisa, you have those three steps. I know you wrote them down. You had a lot of time to think about it, because right before I said, don't forget your three steps. And she's like, oh my gosh. And she wrote something down. So you had lots of time to prep. And you don't have to go with what you have there. You can go with whatever comes to you. But the floor is yours, the three steps you're talking about.
The first one is just to have a morning routine. I always think that if you create that habit in the morning where you just have some time to pray or meditate or whatever spiritual practice it is that you do, even if your spiritual practice is go out in nature, have a walk, go for a run, ground yourself, that is like the number one thing to do first thing in the morning before you get on your Facebook, before you take calls, before you... even before your kids wake up, is to get up and do something for your own spirit. That's the first step I would always take. And if you haven't made some space in that step to be still and to be silent, to allow your gifts and your thoughts and your expression after that spiritual step, the very next step is to have that space, that time, just to write your thoughts, your gratitudes, your being, your gifts onto a page. And then the third simple step is probably just to remember that none of this is real. None of this is forever. None of this is... none of this is something that's set in stone, and everything that happens, you're okay, it's okay, and it may not be perfect right now, it may not be ideal, but you're okay, it's okay, and all is well. Yeah. I think that's, and then obviously, I don't know, it's a fourth step, but to nurture yourself and in your business. So that's personally in your business. I'd say, you know, before you rush into the day, my first step is always to write down the top three things that I want to accomplish that day. Because if you put it out there, so shall it be. And it's the stuff that's important, necessary, and needed. And then that becomes your top priority. Anything else that's not a top priority, you can delegate. That's my next step. Yeah. Delegate. If you don't have a team, then that stuff is not important, and that stuff is not important, necessary, and needed, then let it be on the page of to-dos. Move the to-dos. Have something like a Trello board that moves them for you, like Butler. Have it some sort of system in place that moves those things along for you, so that things don't fall off and not get done. But then every day or every like week or month, ask yourself, is this even necessary? It's been on this list for like a month. Is it really even necessary? Mm-hmm. And also, is it part of my joy going forward in the future?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's amazing. So let's just, so in your own words, there were three steps, and you even gave us a bonus step as well. Can you just repeat those really quickly? What are they?
Okay, so take time for spiritual life, be still in the moment, and take a deep breath before the day, and that's in life, and then in business, you write down the steps, the three top steps needed, necessary, and what's the last one? I've forgotten. I'm not good at repeating stuff. Stuff flows through me. So it's the last step was in your business. Just focus on the things that are necessary, needed, and required, and then put a system together where you're able to automate that system, mm-hmm. automate it in such a way that you don't lose things.
Okay. No, it's interesting that you say that a lot. I think, by the way, if I had a nickel for every time I said, that's interesting that you say that, as kind of like the next step, I wouldn't need to do podcasting anymore. Apparently that's my link. So that's my tagline. So anyways, but you know, one of the weird things that I think I get hung up with, and a lot of people get hung up with, is I'll have a to-do list, and then eventually that bottom to do, the very last one that keeps getting transferred from list to list, it gets dropped off. But I always feel bad about it. It's a very odd
thing. You can delegate that one. You can delegate that one. If it's not needed, necessary, and it's something that really bothers you, then just delegate it.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. Okay. No, it's been a calming and motivating time with you, Lisa. And I mean that all in the best ways.
It's been very special to be with you too, James.
Thank you. Tell me final thoughts from this conversation. We've talked about a lot of stuff, right? From writing children's books to grounding ourselves to making to-do lists. Tell me about final thoughts you would like to share with our listeners today.
I think the family is the most important thing in people's lives. Love and family is the most important thing in people's lives, and regardless of what business they're in or what's happening in the world, when you have the feeling that the whole world is your family and you're connected to everyone and everything, and you have that frequency connection and flow between everybody, then you have the love that flows between everybody, then you can never be unworthy or unloved or disrespected or any of those things. And it is my mission to heal the world. And so I truly believe that each and every single one of us has a gift and a purpose. And that comes from the very being of that love being within you. And you can take action from love. You can change the world from love. And when you have that loving, supportive family, whether it be your own family or the family that you create from people that you know and are around regularly, it doesn't matter. It's about is about the connections that you're making and that connect to the earth, connect to the air, connect to the people around you, connect to your family and your friends, and build that love in your lives, in your businesses. And you'll never have any of those negative emotions and those negative thoughts again.
Yeah. That's amazing stuff. Look, we're actually over time, which is totally okay. And I love being over time. I mean, it was a good chat, but I 100% appreciate everything you said, and I 100% appreciate you. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, James. And thank you everyone for listening.
Lisa, also you have a freebie for our listeners. Is that right?
Yes, I've got a couple of freebies, but if they go to lisapivo.com, it'll forward them to the different freebies so that they can get. Yeah.
Okay.
The one is the 15 foods that they can get that will help them build their immune system specifically for Corona. And then I've got a couple of surprises. So
there you go. Now you have to visit, right? Look, team, one of the neat things about doing this podcast is I get to network up, and I get to network with lots of really interesting and amazing people like Lisa. So personally, it's been a pretty interesting and you know, here's a trick for you. And I might do this myself. I might listen to myself now versus when I started this podcast, where I was all frenetic about the Facebook ads thing, right? And I was talking a mile a minute. Now I have
that's gone.
So it's a lovely, so, you know, just myself even, this has been incredible. And I get to ask the question. So team, thank you for listening. 3 Steps to Thrive. My name is James Lamb. Every episode we bring on successful business experts and entrepreneurs who give us 3 practical, actionable, and simple steps from which we can build our businesses to thrive. Think about how much you'll learn in 5 podcasts. You get 15 tips that are really powerful to improve yourself and your business. So the best way we can get this information out to small business owners is to subscribe, please rate and review. It makes a difference. It makes it easier for others to find this information, because as a small business owner, you, my friend, you work harder than anybody else. And sometimes the financial rewards do not come in spades. So I want you to succeed. Let's do it together. Team, I appreciate each and every one of you. Same time, same place next week, and looking forward to talking to you then. Don't forget, if you love this podcast, please leave a review. One of my goals is to support as many entrepreneurs and small business owners as possible with these simple, actionable, and practical tips. My team and I spend countless hours finding great guests who are experts in their field, and these people 100% volunteer to be on this show. And one of the best ways to help other people find this podcast is with your review. So if you would be so kind and subscribe and leave a review, this show can get out to more people, and I would be forever grateful. So thank you in advance. Okay, guys, thanks so much once more for tuning in. See you next week, and have a great few days.